The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to The Rusk Report on the Bet AM 1520. Back by popular demand, we have world-famous author Lawrence Lehmer on The Rusk Report. And I'd like to introduce this with some quotes from Publishers Weekly that just came out with an interview with Lawrence Lehmer. And we've had Lawrence Lehmer in the past about the Hitchcock's Blonde book and also about the book on Truman Capote. And it's the original influencers. Publishers Weekly talks with Lawrence Lehmer, and it reads, in Warhol's Muses, Putnam, May, the biographer profiles the superstars who helped catapult Andy Warhol from obscurity to stardom. You write that Warhol's superstars were a chosen family whose members sought emotional support, yet Warhol thrived on manipulating their wounds. All of us are a little bit calculating in certain parts of our lives. Andy was calculating every single moment of his life to begin his incredibly modest circumstances and reach for the heights. You have to be calculating. So yes, he manipulated the superstars. He used them. Let's talk about Warhol's Muses, and this will be available in May at Amazon, all Barnes & Noble locations worldwide. What is Warhol's Muses by Lawrence Lehmer all about? Lawrence Lehmer.
Well, he was this, he called himself this ugly gay man. I'm not calling him that, that's what he called himself. And he knew to succeed in the 60s, there was a very limited audience for contemporary art. To sell that art, he knew he had to get in the homes of the rich, the wealthiest people in America. He couldn't do it, but if he had these beautiful women, many of them from those elite families, they could take him into those homes. That's why he befriended them, and they did it just like that, exactly that. They got him into those homes. These people started buying his paintings, and he became the most famous artist in the 20th century. In 2022, one of his paintings of Elizabeth Taylor sold for $195 million. That's the most ever paid for an American painting.
So he really was, even though he had a very eccentric and wild lifestyle, he was a very gifted man.
He was a good, but the question is, was he gifted as a great artist, or was he gifted as a manipulator and a genius at public relations? And most artists, I mean, Picasso was creating great art until his 90s. Andy Warhol created his art, his original art, for only five years in the early 60s, then he gave up and started doing movies. So he had created this way of reproducing his paintings so they all were originals. And that's why there's so many Warhol paintings out there.
So he was a very talented, gifted, would you say he was a genius at his work?
Well, he was definitely a genius of public relations. To become as famous as he did, yes. But again, he only did his artwork for 5 years. And then afterwards he came back after he was shot and would do these portraits. If you came in, gave him $50,000, he'd take a Polaroid picture of you and they would turn that into a painting, and you'd give him the $50,000 and he'd give it to you.
It's a lot of money.
for
a painting.
Even
photo.
Certainly then.
Now, the Toronto Star wrote, and we blanket Toronto, New York State, 17 states. We go all the way up to Montreal. And the Toronto Star said this is one of the 25 books to read in 2025. And the Observer said one of 12 nonfiction books you need to read in 2025. Why is this so compelling? Warhol Muses, the artist, misfits and superstars destroyed by the factory fame machine?
Well, because it helps to explain the 60s. It helps to explain the evolution of women in America. It helps to explain popular culture. All this is in this book.
Was he sort of a bizarre individual that people wanted to relate to? That he was sort of such a wild character that people were so interested in his lifestyle?
Yeah, I mean, his studio called The Factory, which was a kind of dumpy place on the West Side. You know, in the 50s, nobody from an elite family would go to a place like that. But in the 60s, people wanted to get away from the traditional life, and they showed up at the factory for his parties.
So, would you say that Andy Warhol had a big impact on American culture in the 1960s, that he changed our lifestyle?
He totally did. I mean, he probably did not say the famous line, "Everybody will have 15 minutes of celebrity," but that's what he thought. And that's what he was about, the evolution of celebrity, the way it is in America, where people are so obsessed with it and it means so little. We owe that to Andy Warhol.
Let's talk a little bit about the show we last did a year ago on Capote's Women. And it was a big hit. The movie was with big stars on Hulu and FX. It was really a very, very strong writing, and also a strong film with big stars. Let's talk a little bit about the reaction worldwide to Capote's Women. How has it gone over Lawrence Lehmer?
Well, it was a big bestseller here. It was a bestseller in England. It went all over the world, and the series went everywhere, and it got 11 Emmy nominations. It was a big, big success. And I went to the premiere in New York. Andy Warhol in 1966 gave his famous black and white ball, the premiere at the Plaza Hotel in New York, and there was the premiere of the series was a replication of that ball in the Plaza Ballroom. It was a spectacular evening, but all the stars were there. And I had a friend who actually lives to me near here, who was waiting for a kidney transplant. And he was obsessed with Diane Lane, obsessed with her. So Diane Lane was there that evening, and I told her about my friend, and I said, "Diane, would you mind talking to my friend?" And she said, "Sure." So we called him up in the hospital, and she had a long conversation with him. It's something he remembers so fondly.
Talking a little bit more about Capote's Women, which is available worldwide by Lawrence Lehmer, our guest today. Why, if he was so close to these very wealthy, powerful women, would he turn on them and basically be so destructive to people he held so closely?
He was a very bitchy guy. You just couldn't trust him. He would talk to one of these women, the women he called his swans. He'd tell her about a gossipy thing about the other, and then he'd go to the next one and tell about her. He just couldn't be trusted.
Amazing. For those who've just tuned in to the Rusk Report, we're with Lawrence Lehmer, famous author. The new book is coming out in 2 months, in May, Warhol's Muses. It will be available at all Amazon and Barnes & Noble outlets. A little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampo Legal newspaper has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampo Legal. The Ampo Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. Get the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. And our guest Lawrence Lehmer did spend a lot of his time in upstate New York, where this program is generated, in Buffalo, New York. A little bit more information about Lawrence Lehmer. He was born in 1941. He's an American author, journalist. He's a former Ford Fellow. in international development at the University of Oregon and a former international fellow at Columbia University. He is regarded as an expert on the Kennedy family and has appeared in numerous media outlets discussing American politics. I'd like to thank those who called regarding our recent guest, the superintendent of Sweet Home Schools, also Tom Sibick, who was arrested during the insurrection at the Capitol. And coming up, we'll have Roger Woodworth with the employer support of the Guard. Let's talk a little bit about the scandalous relationship that Andy Warhol had with 10 women. And this is all in Warhol's Muses by our guest, Lawrence Lehmer. The scandalous relationship he had with these 10 women.
Well, he used them. They became addicted to drugs. He did very little. He didn't stop them. He listened to them. He listened to their stories. He wouldn't help them. He wouldn't help them get off drugs. He just, and they eventually felt abused by him and left him.
So there's a similarity in your last book, which was acclaimed worldwide with both your book and the film series. There's a similarity between Andy Warhol and Truman Capote basically taking advantage of prominent women.
That's a great point, Brian. And by the way, you were talking before, there's a Polish edition of Capote's Women, by the way.
Oh, well, we have, where we held this program, we have 350,000 Poles in Western New York, and you spent a lot of your time in upstate New York, has a heavy Polish population.
Yeah.
So now it's available in Polish.
Right.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk more about the similarities of how, I don't know if there was a nasty part of their personality or self-serving interest to take advantage of these women, but even though
they're gay, okay? So they have no sexual interest in these women, so it has to be something else. So they had these friendships that were in which they basically used them.
Was it sort of a sense of power that they wanted to have leverage or power over?
Well, they
these?
Wanted to be sure. Both of these men came from poor families, and to rise up as much as they did, it's an extremely difficult thing, and it takes all your knowledge, all your cunning. Cunning to make it up there, and both of these men use these women to advance themselves.
It's funny that one, Truman Capote, talked about these beautiful, powerful women and as his swans, and then Andy Warhol called them superstars. So they basically use these women for their success.
Yeah, and think of the term superstars. I talked about Warhol changing the idea of celebrity in America. Were they? It's like a superstar bigger than a star, right? But they weren't stars. But that's what he called them because he thought everybody could have their moment of celebrity.
So they basically were both users.
Yes.
Basically using rich, powerful women for their own ego and career growth.
Yeah, and with Warhol, when he went to the dinner parties, he would sit there and tell the gossip and tell the stories, and he knew that as long as he did that, he was welcome. And the moment he stopped doing that, he wasn't going to be invited back. With Warhol, it was different. He wasn't a storyteller. He would sit often quite quiet at parties, but he became somebody you wanted at your party, the famous Andy Warhol.
Now, you wrote the book Hitchcock's Blondes. It seems that all three of these people, Alfred Hitchcock, Truman Capote, and Andy Warhol, basically took advantage and used women for their own benefit in one way or another.
Well, Hitchcock, at least, he starred them in these immortal movies. So did he use them? I don't know. He gave them a great deal. What did what did Warhol give these people, these women? He gave them, he entertained them. He's a very entertaining, witty guy. And Warhol invited them in this new world that they wanted to be part of, and that destroyed many of them.
Now, in your book on Capote's women, there's a lot of talk about the alcoholism that Truman Capote had as a big part of his life.
Right.
A defect, I don't know if it helped his artistic inclinations.
It never does. People think it is. People who want to become writers, they read about Hemingway sitting in bars drinking, and I think if I drink like that, I can write. It doesn't work.
Okay. Warhol was involved in a different kind of drugs, amphetamines and so forth.
Right, but he was limited. He took these pills that were prescribed, and he took just enough to be high and to be able to work hard, but the people around him took much more and injected it. They injected it. I mean, so one day some woman came in and she injected herself and her heart stopped.
Really?
Yeah, and they were just going to, they were putting her in a bag. I'm going to dump her out into the bins, and when she came back to life.
Now, when you wrote about Alfred Hitchcock, did he have any vices such as alcohol and drugs, Alfred Hitchcock?
He didn't have nothing like
so
that.
So of the three, he was the only one who was a more of a serious person.
Well, what's a serious person?
He wasn't corrupted by drugs or alcohol.
Well, Warhol wrote great books, immortal books. And Truman Capote wrote great books.
Yes.
And Warhol did art that's in museums all over the world. So what is serious? Seriousness is in the result, I guess.
Now, let's talk about Warhol confessing of letting people destroy themselves. What did he mean by that?
He said people thought he was this evil guy.
Yes.
And he says, I'm not evil. These people did that to themselves. I'm not responsible.
Well, if he was involved with drug use and so forth, maybe he was responsible.
The factory was just a den of drugs, a den of vice, a den of sexuality, all kinds of strange sexuality.
Well, did he sort of corrupt American society and our morals and our values? Andy Warhol, was he a negative force on American culture?
Look, I'm not the one to say that, but certainly society changed, and what you and I grew up with, certain moral conduct was supposed to, that was gone. He was a leader in destroying that. Certainly monogamy was not one of his great joys.
Now, what are the plans from the book? The book comes out in 2 months from this taping in May. It will be available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble worldwide, Warhol's Muses. What are the plans for a movie or a TV series similar to the one you did with Capote?
Well, so far we haven't sold it, but I'm going to be going around promoting the book. May 6th, I'm giving a talk in Pittsburgh at the Carnegie Museum. I'm looking forward to that.
Let's talk a little bit about the success of Capote's Women and the film. You're over 80 years of age.
Try 83.
83. And it seems that, and I mentioned this before the taping, Lawrence Lehmer, that your career is peaking at over 80 years of age. Does this make you feel young and emboldened at this age to have the books, the movie series on Capote? How do you feel about your career at this point?
Well, I've had success before. My Kennedy's Women was the number two bestseller 30 years ago. I've had 6 New York Times bestsellers. So how does it feel? When I first started writing, I think part of me wanted to become famous. I'd become a writer and be famous. Well, at this point, you don't care about that. You write because you write. You get up in the morning and write, and you enjoy doing it. That's what I do. I wouldn't want to retire. I'm very fortunate to be able to go on.
So does this writing of famous people who you're very interested in, does this keep you young, active, and excited about your career?
Well, each book is a way of living another life. It's living somebody else's life and getting into it, and I find that fascinating.
Now, it seems that Capote saw his involvement with rich women in the 60s as a way out, sort of an escape for Andy Warhol to be associated with, having wild culture and drug use and so forth with these powerful women.
Well, he liked to get to the, he just liked to get these homes of the wealthy. He knew if he wanted to sell his paintings, he had to get there. He had to figure out a way to get there.
But he had enormous talent also.
But the question is, talent for what? Was he an original artist? Basically what he did was he would take a picture, a photograph generally, that he'd seen, and he'd use the silkscreen technique to make a larger image of that, and he'd color it. That's his great art. That's all it is.
Now, do you look upon that as great art, or do you look upon it as just sort of a way for Andy Warhol to promote
his career? Yeah, well, I'm not an art critic, okay?
Right.
But I personally, no. Do I think his most recent biographer compares him to Rembrandt and Picasso? No way. I don't think so. I mean, he's a brilliant guy at exploiting public relations. And I say in the book that the question is, should his paintings be in the Museum of Modern Art, or should they be brought down to Times Square and put on the sides of buildings?
So basically, in a way, Andy Warhol was an exploiter. He exploited women, he exploited his art, he exploited his culture, with a lot of drug usage in between.
Boy, that's a good, you got it.
So he, like Capote, was a user.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Hitchcock's Blondes. Was Alfred Hitchcock on a higher level of art and fame and accomplishment where he did not exploit people to the degree of Truman Capote and Andy Warhol? Was he a more dignified creature, Alfred Hitchcock?
Hitchcock had made films for half a century. He started with Silence, and he ended up with color films and stuff, and went on and on with his career, and he gave these women lots of opportunity. Some of them didn't like him, others adored him.
Did Andy Warhol have more respect for these women than Truman Capote? They both exploited women.
No, the other way around.
So they were similar.
They were similar in that way, yeah. Right.
Okay, let's talk about your next project, Lawrence Lehmer. You now have had three tremendous accomplishments with Hitchcock's Blondes, Capote's Women, and now Warhol's Muses. What is the next exciting project for Lawrence Lehmer, famous author?
Well, I'm writing a book now on Kennedy's women. I knew three of JFK's mistresses, and I've spent 15 years of my life writing three books about the Kennedys. So I'm going back, I'm telling the story of his personal life to understand him the way he hasn't been understood before, to show the way his health affected his life, to show his sexuality. Why was he so sexually obsessed? Why did he put up this? Why did he risk the things he risked? And why did he get involved in amphetamines? That's the story I'm trying to tell.
Well, with these famous people you've written about, there's sort of a common theme of a lot of drug and alcohol usage. If it's Truman Capote with Capote's Women, Warhol's Muses, and your writings of JFK.
I've learned not to be jealous of anybody, that's for sure.
So they've all of these three that you've written famous books about had addictions.
Right.
Okay, what does it say about their...
Well, no, Hitchcock didn't have addiction.
No, not Hitchcock, but Truman Capote, John F. Kennedy, and Andy Warhol.
Right.
All had addictions.
Right.
Is this a flaw of many famous and wealthy people to have these addictions, these flaws?
Well, I think addiction to drugs is something that's from the bottom of society to the top. I mean, people think it's not the rich that are addicted, but the rich are as addicted as anybody else.
If you're listening in Cheektowaga, New York, Manhattan, Washington, to our 50,000 watts of clear channel power on the BET AM 1520, drop us a note. Today we're talking to Lawrence Lehmer, famous author of the new book that is coming out in May, Warhol's Muses, that will be available at Amazon and Barnes and Noble worldwide. Please write to Brian Rusk, BET AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And we always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. Of all the books you've written, which one did you enjoy the most writing? Which one meant the most to you? Lawrence Lehmer.
Well, years ago, my first book, Ascent, about Willie Unseld, a mountain climber who climbed Everest in 63, the first in 10 years after the Sir Edmund Hillary and Tenzing Norgay climbed it, and he lost 9 of his toes, and it's a tragic story. And I was the Peace Corps volunteer in Nepal, and I knew Willie Unseld, so that was a very personal book for me.
I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. Again, we've learned so much from world-famous author Lawrence Lehmer. Again, the book will be out in 2 months, Warhol's Muses. It will be available worldwide as we cover 17 states and half of Canada. So please get a copy of this. We've learned so much from Andy Warhol. Again, any thoughts or comments, please write to Brian Rusk, BET AM 1520, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York. Thank you for teaching us about your career and the new book that you have coming out at Barnes & Noble and Amazon, Warhol's Muses. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.